from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. As the death toll from the coronavirus continues to mount in China, laboratories here in California will soon be able to start processing tests for the virus and get results back quickly. KQED's Mary Franklin Harvin tells us more.
Until now, only the Federal Centers for Disease Control could run the tests, and results could take as long as a week. But starting Wednesday, 16 laboratories in California will be able to perform testing for the novel coronavirus. The participating labs will provide results within 2 days of when they receive the specimen. And as California's Department of Public Health points out, quicker diagnosis means quicker treatment. While the state continues to reinforce efforts to combat coronavirus, there's still only around a dozen cases confirmed across the country. That's compared to 140,000 hospitalizations and more than 8,000 flu deaths here this season. Doctors urge people to get the flu vaccine and to regularly wash their hands. For the California Report, I'm Mary Franklin Harvin.
The coronavirus outbreak is not only a public health story, but an economic one as well. Many California companies that either have factories and stores in China or rely on imported parts are worried about disruptions to their supply chains because of the disease. Some of the California-based companies that have had their business operations affected by the coronavirus are Apple, Tesla, and Levi Strauss. With more on that, here's KPCC's Robert Garova.
Clayton Duby is director of USC's U.S.-China Institute.
You're not seeing an immediate impact, but you will.
Duby says that's in part because many manufacturers have adopted what's called just-in-time production. That means companies are saving on storage costs by not stockpiling parts from China in a warehouse. Instead, they're relying on ordering components at the point when they need them to finish a product. But Duby says that could make those companies more vulnerable now that some production in China has ground to a halt.
Goods that you need to finish production here in California, be they auto parts or something like that, they need to be on a boat right now.
Duby says the Wuhan area, where the outbreak is centered, accounts for about 10% of Chinese car production. He says our local tourism industry will feel the more immediate effects of the coronavirus outbreak, but there will eventually be a ripple effect on manufacturing as well. That could mean slowed production and delayed deliveries to customers. For the California Report, I'm Robert Garova in Los Angeles.
Meanwhile, hundreds of people who were evacuated from China because of the coronavirus remained under quarantine at military bases in Northern and Southern California. Six people in the state so far have tested positive for the virus. In San Bernardino County, public health officials have declared an outbreak of hepatitis A. 42 cases of the illness have been recorded in the county over the last 13 months. That compares to just 3 cases for all of 2018. Hepatitis A is often transmitted through contaminated food and water in unsanitary conditions. San Bernardino's cases are largely being found among high-risk populations like drug users and the homeless. That incident's point of origin seems to be a single steakhouse restaurant in the city. Like Hollywood, California's state government is trying to improve the reporting of sexual harassment and discrimination claims. In the last year, the legislature received 181 such complaints. With more on that, here's Cap Radio's Scott Rodd.
In a letter obtained by Cap Radio, leaders at the Capitol disclosed the number of complaints filed in the past year. It was higher than anticipated, but they say that's a good thing. It shows staffers are comfortable coming forward. Senate Pro Tem Tony Atkins and Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon declined to comment for this story. It's hard to compare the number to past years. There were 33 complaints in 2017 and 17 in 2018. But those only included sexual harassment. The legislature's new workplace conduct unit, formed in the wake of the Me Too movement, also investigates discrimination and retaliation. And it may be hard to measure progress moving forward. The legislature will release substantiated complaints against lawmakers and high-level staff, but the Senate and Assembly would not say if they plan to release any additional data in the future. For the California Report, I'm Scott Rodd in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores, Hint, mouthwatering water. Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life science communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. and Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
San Diego has installed thousands of high-tech smart streetlights around the city that come equipped with sensors, cameras, and microphones. The lights were sold to San Diegans as a way to help the city reach its environmental and urban planning goals. But in recent weeks, it's been revealed just how frequently law enforcement uses the smart streetlights. And that's raised concerns about privacy and government surveillance. I talked about these issues with journalist Jesse Marks with the news site Voice of San Diego. We met on the street. All right, Jesse, you've brought me to the corner of Ash Street and First Avenue in downtown San Diego. What are we looking at when it comes to these streetlights?
We're looking at devices that are looking back at us all, actually. These are pieces of equipment that the city has installed across San Diego in order initially to gather up atmospheric data and take data about for public planning purposes, vehicles passing by, pedestrians, that sort of thing. But they've also proven useful to law enforcement.
So this street light that we're looking at now is looking at us and collecting video images?
It is, that's correct. It's, as long as you're within the public right-of-way, it is gathering video feed. It has the potential to also listen, but that part of the device has not been turned on just yet. But the video footage stays on the camera for 5 days, and if law enforcement wants to access it, they can. So law enforcement is able to use these devices however they want, but there's nobody really overseeing it.
Have they helped solve crimes?
They've solved a lot of crimes. I think 31 homicides up until October of last year. They've also solved a number of deadly car collisions, hit and runs. There was even an evading arrest. But the point is, those are very serious crimes. And when the police department first started accessing these devices, they promised the public they would only access these devices based on the most serious crimes. And they offered up violent crime specifically as the criteria that they were going to use. And they were saying that as recently as 6 weeks ago.
Kind of a last resort kind of thing we would do to help crack the case.
Exactly. Just trust us. We're not abusing this system. We're only going in there when it's absolutely necessary to gather up footage. But in the process, the data that's been released over the last couple of days has showed that the police department has also accessed the camera for fairly minor crimes like vandalism, destruction of city property, and there was even an illegal dumping case in which somebody dropped concrete near a parking structure.
So critics of the sensors then, these sensor packages and these smart lights are saying what?
What they're saying is that there were no privacy considerations when this program was launched. So a larger discussion happening here in San Diego in the moment is, do city officials truly understand the power of the technology that they put into place, and have they opened up a back door to surveillance capabilities? Even if everybody trusts the police department and those at City Hall, there still should be an oversight body that is holding them accountable. And the larger issue is this. Nobody's against catching murderers, right? What they're against is the fact that there are new types of technology that are being aimed their way without them knowing about it and not being informed along the way until several years later it kind of blows up.
All right, Jesse Marks, thanks so much.
Thank you.
San Diego City Attorney Mara Elliott defends the use of the lights by police as an effective law enforcement tool. But members of San Diego City Council who are worried about the possibility